For our text tonight, we'll look at 1 John chapter 5, the epistle of John, his first letter, chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. The Apostle John, he had a particular close relationship with the Lord. Five times in the Gospel, John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That first reference we actually find in the upper room at the Last Supper. The Bible tells us that John himself is leaning on the Lord, and he refers to himself at that time as the one whom Jesus loved. And then we find it again as John and others were at the cross. And Jesus was suffering, and it says that the disciple that was standing there was the one who Jesus loved. That's in John chapter 19. And then finally, three more times, this reference is made after the glorious resurrection of Christ. It's how John refers to himself. So often we refer to John as John the Beloved. Some also refer to him as the Apostle of Love. And really, this concept of the law of love is really the focus of what this epistle is. I remember being confused at a time when it talked about the law. Isn't that fulfilled? Well, absolutely, Christ came and he fulfilled the old law, the old covenant. But what John refers to in here in the New Testament is that we have a new covenant personified in Christ on Calvary, and that is the law of love. Well, we remember it was this same John who the Lord, when he was on the cross, he looked down and John was there, his mother was there, and the Bible tells us that John was given the care of the mother of Jesus. Now Jesus, he could have chosen, you know, one of his half-brothers, Jude or James, and we believe they came to Christ later after the Lord had gone to Calvary. But John was especially loved by the Lord, and he had a special relationship with the Lord. In fact, it says in John 19:27, then saith he to his disciple, this is the words of Jesus, behold thy mother, speaking to John. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now we know that John was part of the Lord's inner circle. It was Peter, James, and John. And there are many examples where just these three had a special briefing or had a special time with the Lord where the others were on the outside. And even more commonly throughout the New Testament, it was just Peter and John. In fact, in Luke 22:8, the Bible tells us, this is speaking of the Passover, and he said to Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. But then when we get to Acts of the Apostles, we find the early church at work. We find those ministering. The apostles are very active. In many cases, it's Peter and John together. In Acts 3:1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And we see a time there where a miraculous healing was done. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and again it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. So they were preaching, they were teaching, they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they saw their boldness, in fact, the reference later in this verse is they took note that they knew that these two had been with Jesus. So they were both early leaders of the early church, and obviously they both wrote general epistles. First and Second Peter was written generally to those who might read it. And of course, John, he wrote his gospel. He wrote the Revelation when he was banished on Patmos. And then he wrote these three epistles or letters, which really, they're to the church in general. They weren't to a specific place, but you can see in the writing that it was to you and me. In fact, he uses the term we quite often. As you read through this epistle, one particular phrase I believe really stands out. And really, it's in all of John's writings. It's in his gospel writings and in these epistle writings. And I think first look, it seems like a very common phrase, but it's simply how he states time and time again the phrase, we know. I think there's more going on than just a common sort of passing phrase when John says or writes this to you and me over and over again. If I added it up correctly, it is used by John, that phrase, much more than any other writer in all of Scripture, old or new, 28 times, 12 in these epistles, 16 in his gospel. Maybe some examples will help that leads up to our text. In 1 John 2:3, he writes, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." We can't keep the commandments of God lest we know him. And so he's saying to those that are reading, it's a foregone conclusion. We know that if we know him, that enables us to keep his commandments. And by God's grace, when he delivers us from our old life, we know that it's the Lord that gives us the strength to no longer have those appetites, to no longer want to go down that path that we knew made the Lord frown upon our lives. We know what happened, and we know when Christ made a change, we were enabled to keep his commandments. In 1 John 2:18, he says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now now are there many Antichrists." Think of how long ago this was written, but he says, "Whereby we know that it is the last time." I mean, look around. We have no doubt. We know that it's the last time. We are right on the brink of what the Scripture writes about in terms of a period of time than more than any other time in human history. We know, we have no doubt. 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." So there's some things we don't know. Some things that are a bit of a mystery. Things that we know something about. But he goes on to say, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." I don't know how it's going to happen. And I don't know when it's going to happen. And way back there, it's thought that John the Apostle perhaps lived, if not the longest, one of the longest of all those from the early church leaders. And even at that time, he could say, "We know that it's the last time. And there's a lot we don't understand." But he could say, "We," and he's writing to the church, "we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." Isn't that a hope? "For we shall see him as he is." We know that to be true. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's saying. 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." When you got saved, it was a no-so salvation. And we don't just say that to say that, but we knew. We knew in our hearts that something supernatural had happened, that you had passed from death unto life. You had no longer a reason to live after the ways of the enemy. "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." You see, the love, that's the law of love. The love of Christ that comes in our hearts when we're saved, it enables us to love everyone. Regardless of what they have done or haven't done to us, that's what the love of Christ enables us to do. 1 John 3:24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us." You feel the Spirit of God. You feel the supernatural Spirit of God. Sometimes we refer to it as a peace, maybe an assurance, a confirmation, but somehow heaven comes into our hearts and we know that he abideth in us. He says in 1 John 3:24, "by the Spirit which he hath given us." 1 John 5:18. He's not making an issue of this. He's just saying this is a matter of fact. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And that's challenged so often. John is saying this is what we know. We know to be true because we've experienced God in our lives. And we know that he forgave us of our sins and we no longer want to do those things. So we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Keepeth from what? From the wicked one. How do we keep ourselves from sinning? That is reading and praying. That is like we're doing tonight. We're coming to church. That is testifying. That is encouraging each other in the Lord. That's listening to gospel music that lifts us up. That is texting somebody, "I'm praying for you." That is reaching out and doing something for someone that would encourage them. That's how we keep ourselves in the love of Christ. And there's many other things that we can do as well. 1 John 5:15 now from our text. And he says, "And if we know that he hear us," he's talking about prayer, "whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Amen. We know God answers prayer. There's no doubt. There's no discussion. It's a matter of fact. There's no question. He's saying there's no argument to be had. It's a foregone conclusion. There's no debate. More than just a probable cause. It's more even than just a hope. And we do have a hope. And a hope is a big part of the gospel. The hope that we would see our loved ones one day, that we would stand before the Lord one day. But we know it will happen because of what Christ does in our hearts. 100% certainty. There's a lot in the scripture we don't know. That's a mystery. We can't fully understand the triune nature of God. It's deeper than what our human capacity can comprehend. We can see evidences of it, no doubt. Sometimes we think about maybe the pre-flood ecosystem or ecology of the world before the flood, and there's a lot we don't know about it. The landscape perhaps was changed. The atmosphere was changed. We know the Bible tells us that lots of people and animals perhaps lived a lot longer. Characters in the scripture, we don't know a lot about Melchizedek, king of Salem. A lot of times in the Old Testament, it talks about the angel of the Lord, and sometimes the angel of the Lord could accept worship and sometimes not. There's a lot we don't know about what happened to the body of Moses. The Bible talks about how God had a special appointment with him and took him. Revelation, you think about the Apostle John, he can emphatically say over and over again what we do know, but all of the mysteries he saw in the revelation that the Lord gave him and therefore gave us. The two witnesses, are they Enoch, Moses, or Elijah? There's different opinions on who those might be. The Bible talks about a hidden manna. It's hidden. We don't know what that tastes like. He could write about it and he could see it, but it's promised to us, a white stone that has a name on it. There's a lot we don't know about that. Of course, the rapture of the church, our body changing. We don't know how that's going to happen. How is that going to happen so quickly? And we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know the day nor the hour. We know that we're within the season of God's time clock. That's the point of the signs, so that we would be ready. But we just don't know. We don't know the exact difference or way to differentiate exactly our soul and spirit. There's aspects of it that the scripture teaches us about. There's experiences that we have that help us get there. And it's an interesting study, but we don't know exactly in our human capacity. We don't know what happens to the United States in terms of Bible prophecy. We just don't know. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, there was a time where there was a prophecy that was given where he was told to seal the book. It's not for us to know. And then in Revelation 10, there were seven thunders that John heard. And the Bible tells us that he was told to seal up those things, whatever it was that those seven thunders gave. There's things that I look back in life that I don't know to this day. I have no idea. I remember taking calculus in school and just getting through it. And I got to college and took trigonometry, and then I knew I needed two terms of calculus. And if I sat down and took a calculus test today, I'd fail miserably. I have no doubt. I have no idea. I don't know. You know, we, growing up, we were always told that we were Swedish. We just knew that we were, until my dad got a DNA test a few years ago. We didn't know that we're actually Finnish. Except for the Finnish people that go to church here, they told us they knew all along. Brother Arpo, if he's here, he said he knew. So there's some things in life you think you know, but you really don't know. But there's some things that we do know. And that's what John's getting at here, time and time again, throughout his gospel, throughout this epistle, is that we know. We know there's victory over sin. Amen. We know when we've experienced salvation. That's why there's a counterfeit, because there's a real. We know that one day we will stand before the Lord. We know that a lot of these mysteries are going to be, in a moment of time, I believe, completely opened up and revealed to us. And we know that God's in control. And as our text says in the concluding verse, two verses, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. This is the confidence, He's saying, that we know in terms of if you pray a prayer, God's going to hear it. Amen. Now that's a confidence that we can have. It's easy to believe that God hears somebody else's prayer. It might be easier to believe that God's going to heal, somebody else. But what about knowing that God heard my prayer, He'll heal me? I think sometimes in the gospel, we want to know that we know that we know. And that's the kind of assurance that God can give us. Where there's no doubt, where God takes the doubt out of our hearts, out of our minds, and gives us an assurance, a peace, a confirmation, something that's from heaven, something that's eternal, and that's what we experience in the gospel. We know. And he goes on to say, if we love Him, and if we know, in verse 15, that He hears us, whatsoever we ask. There's no question here, he's saying. We, the church of God, know whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. What would you like to ask the Lord of tonight? We know that if you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. We know, we've experienced it. Or else we couldn't stand here and proclaim it. We do on the authority of God's word, but having not experienced it for ourselves, we couldn't proclaim that we know. John experienced it. We've experienced it. We know that Christ can save you. We know that the Lord can sanctify you. There can be different opinions on what that is, yet we've experienced it and we know. Because it's in God's word, so we know. So let there be no doubt that God can sanctify you. And we know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all of humanity. We do. We know. God's word says it. We've seen a cross-section of people from different backgrounds receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know that God always fulfills His word, His way, His promises. These weren't our ideas. It's God's word, and we've experienced it, so we know. So we know that if you come tonight in prayer before the Lord, that God will hear it. We just heard that God will hear it, and God will answer your prayer tonight. The song is 17. Let's come out and pray.